I don't know about you, but having taught for at least 25 years, I taught for a couple of years prior to that, I've known a lot of kids with a lot of names, learned a lot of names over the years, and there are some names that I have come to like, and there are some names that I'm not so thrilled with, and that's because of association, We, you know, think of a name, and yeah, I like that name. I remember I had a student a couple of years ago, or had a few students with that name. Good students, good kids. And then there's others like, oh yeah, I had a kid by that name. I don't think I'll be naming any of my children that. It brings back memories. But the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, who do we associate that with? Our Savior, our Lord. And hand in hand with that, I didn't want to just rehash what I said, but hand in hand with that, Our voices. Can you think of someone whose voice, when you hear it, you smile? Or can you think of someone, perhaps, whose voice, when you hear it, you cringe? Like, oh no. My wife, what made me think of this is, I think it was last night, my wife sent me a message on the phone, and all it was yelling. Now, she wasn't yelling at me, don't worry, I'm okay. She wasn't yelling at me. It was my son. He was outside playing. This was Sammy. He was having a great time. I guess he was riding his swings and stuff, and he was just hooting and hollering, and she just took her phone, and you know how you do, and she just recorded it, and she just sent it to me, you know, just sent it off, no commentary. Because she knew, didn't even say in the message, you know, your son's voice, you recollect him? No, it's just, I hit message, and all I heard was that voice. And it brought a smile to my face because of who I associate that voice with. And you're probably going to be hearing those screams tomorrow. But point is, There are voices that bring a smile to our face. They bring joy to our heart. Did you notice? And I'm going to confess, some songs I look, you know, that say joy, but so often as we've been singing certain of these songs, I just say, you know what, I'm just, whatever the Lord leads and however He guides. And do you notice how often in those songs we sang tonight about the name of Jesus, it talked about joy? From the very first one and virtually all the way through. Every single one somehow mentioned joy. Joy. Think of what the angel said. You call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Boy, when people, you know, when those who were looking for salvation in Jerusalem, when they heard that name, how do you think they felt? How do you think they felt? It brought joy to them. It brought joy. Well, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the joy of His voice. The joy of hearing His voice. How many of you would have liked to heard the actual voice of Jesus? That would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Interesting probably isn't a really good word. It would have been awesome, maybe, is a better word, to have heard God in human form. To have heard him speak. Boy, when people heard Him speak, they always reacted, didn't they? Some didn't like it, but others said, no man ever spoke like this. He teaches with authority. He doesn't teach like our teachers. He teaches with authority. He spoke, demons had to flee. He spoke, the waves had to stop. No. The Lord spoke over the lake for us tonight, but we had a nice smooth ride this evening. But He spoke, and the wind stopped, the waves ceased. He spoke, and the dead were raised to life. We had a great Sunday school lesson just a little while back in our church. I've told you a little bit about my Sunday school class, so I won't brag on them anymore. But we had a really little interesting side discussion, and we were talking about when Jesus, in the cemetery where Lazarus was buried, He cried out with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? He came forth. Right? Lazarus, he emerged from the tomb. Jesus called him back to life. And I have a couple of folks in my class who are kind of funny. They don't always crack jokes, but they can be humorous sometimes. And somebody raised their hand and we were talking about the power of that voice crying out, Lazarus, come forth. And somebody said, yeah, you know, maybe it's a good thing he called Lazarus by name. Anybody following that train of thought? Because maybe if he had just said, come forth, in a whole... And then another jokester raised his hand and said, I wonder if there was anybody else in that cemetery named Lazarus. I said, well, that would have been interesting how that would have happened. But we had a good chuckle over that. But I think it shows, even though we were having some fun with it, that we were at least to a degree understanding the power of that voice, of those words, that when he said something, things happened. Things happened. And boy, when we hear his voice, when we hear his voice, we're changed. It does something to us. Often your heart will leap. Something happens when you hear the voice of God. I just had to tell you a little cute story. I wasn't going to tell you that. That just occurred to me while I was speaking. But we have a little dog. Little dog. He's about 35 pounds or so. He's not real, real big. Sometimes I call him a little rat dog, and my wife gets all upset at that. But he's a little guy, and he's kind of cute, and he's, you know, he's getting old. He's a little bit ornery sometimes, but he's a barker. You know, anybody here got a little dog? I got one of them little yappy dogs. You know what I'm talking about? The little ones, they can be pretty yappy, can't they, Sister Gladys? I see you nodding your head there, right? Oh, you got a little yappy dog? Yeah, I got a little yappy dog too. He's not little, but to me he's little. But this little dog loves my sister Esther. He loves my sister Esther. And you know, she'll be coming home. She works at one of the little local shops, and she, of course, walks slowly. But as she's approaching the house, as soon as she turns the corner, if any of you know how our house is situated, she'll come around the church and she'll call out, Frazier, I'm coming. I'm coming, Frazier. And oftentimes I can hear her if a window's open or something. And do you know what that little dog does? No matter where he is, he could be upstairs. He could be with me in the other corner of the church. Our house, our parsonage is sort of connected to the church. And we could be up in the corner in one of the offices making copies. We could be anywhere. This little dog goes tearing down the stairs, runs to the front door, and sticks his nose right in the crack of the door. And he's usually kind of active, a little bit hyper. He's mellowing out a little bit now that he's 13. He's starting to mellow out a little bit. But you know, he sticks his nose right in the crack of that door and freezes. And he just stands there, and he will not move until that door opens. And then he goes crazy. And then he goes crazy and he runs around and he's wiggling his tail and you know, all of that kind of stuff. But when he hears that voice, he just runs for it. No matter what he's doing. I've seen him drop toys. I've seen him drop milk bones. I've seen him gladly run away from Sammy when he's heard her voice. But he just runs because he loves that voice. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Again, a scripture that you all know. And I want to consider something with you tonight about the joy of hearing his voice. You could maybe even subtitle it, The Joy of Being Able to Hear His Voice. John 10, a famous chapter which presents Jesus how? How does the Lord present himself here in this chapter? You can cheat, you know, if you have those little subtitles. You're allowed to cheat. What is the Good Shepherd? He's presented here as the Good Shepherd. I want you to read with me verses 1 through 5. Now, I didn't make you copies, So if you got New King James Version, read with me. If you don't, just follow along, all right? But watch this carefully. John 10, 1 through 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now watch carefully here. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then just briefly to just complete this thought for a moment, if you skip down to verses 27 and 28. There's much more here, but this sort of brackets it. It says there, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You can read. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. How does Jesus, the Good Shepherd, describe his sheep? What is the characteristic of his sheep? They what? They hear his voice and they... Why? Because they know it. Exactly, Brother Paul. Because they hear lots of voices. If you know about sheepfolds in those days, they were kind of like community property. Wasn't, you know, private property. Keep your sheep out. They were used by many shepherds. They would bring their flocks, and oftentimes these flocks would mingle. But when it was time for the shepherd of those particular sheep to go, as he would start to walk, he would start to call them. And he would call them by name. And as he would call their names, one by one, they would recognize. Their ears would perk up as much as sheep ears. I don't know, do sheep ears perk up? Frasers do, our little dog. But they hear and they follow. Why? Because they recognize that voice. And if it's a voice they don't recognize, he even says they'll run away. They won't follow the voice of their shepherd. His sheep know his voice. And it is a voice that gladdens them as much as sheep can be gladdened. But they run after him. It attracts them. It's the one, it's the voice that they have learned to follow. They've learned to follow. We need to learn to not only hear our shepherd's voice, but to know our shepherd's voice. In my lifetime, and perhaps in yours, we hear lots of voices. I'm telling you, in this day and age, you can't go too far without hearing a voice. You know, down New York, it's a little less up here maybe, but boy, just hit seek on your radio station. On your radio in the car. How many stations, right? Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a teaching. Everybody's got an advertisement. Everybody's got this. Everybody's got that. Everybody's got a favorite song, right? Over and over and over. And then you go to school and all your friends, everybody's got an opinion. And your teachers have opinions. And your parents have opinions. And then you go to church and your pastor's got what he teaches. And your Sunday school teacher. Tons of voices. All kinds of voices. In fact, I heard a scientist, some sort of an electrical engineer, say one time that if you have the right equipment, the air, because of modern wavelengths and all that stuff, that the air is literally filled with voices. It's filled with voices, which we can't hear with these ears, but with the right equipment, you could. And all around us, there are voices. There are voices traveling through the airways. Well, there are two voices with which we need to concern ourselves with tonight. And both of them are mentioned here. There's the stranger, which of course if you take that and carry it out, we could say is the enemy. It's the evil one, or those under his influence. And then there's the shepherd. There's the shepherd. As his sheep, we need to be able to hear his voice and then we need to be able to recognize His voice. And when we come to recognize that voice, it just draws you. It just draws you. And you want to run after Him. You want to follow Him. Many people I have found in my limited experience who have trouble following Jesus don't know His voice. They've never heard His voice. But when you hear some of these songs that we sang tonight, did you notice their description of Jesus, of His name? Those are people who have met Him, who have heard His voice. And when you hear His voice, you can't help but follow, but run after Him. And tonight I want to talk just a little bit of how God has helped me to hear His voice. I'm not just going to tell you this is how you do it. You know, sometimes preachers say, I'm going to give you, you know, 3 steps to hearing God's voice. Well, I'm not exactly going to do that tonight, but I'm going to share with you just a little bit how God has helped me to hear His voice. And I have heard His voice. Now, I don't always hear audible things. I don't get a lot of visions unless I eat too much pepperoni pizza and chocolate chip cookies and soda and glass of milk and a cup of coffee and a half a box of Twinkies and maybe another half a cup of coffee before I go to bed. Then sometimes I get visions. But God has definitely led me and spoken into my heart, into my life, into my spirit. And I wanted to share with you a couple of the ways that He has done it. And the reason I do this, first of all, because of the great joy that it's brought into my life. We're still orbiting around that idea of joy. But when I was your age, when I was younger, I always wanted to know, one of my big questions, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God? I always sort of had this idea that one day, at one moment, one instant of supreme experience, a lightning bolt was going to strike me, and I was going to have all the answers of what God's will was for my life. I was going to know exactly what I was supposed to do, who I was supposed to marry, what my job was supposed to be, everything. Well, that never happened. That didn't happen. I didn't have that lightning bolt experience where I had all the answers. And I would dare say that you're probably not going to have it either. But what I can say has happened for me is that, like that song we sing, Jesus has led me every step of the way. Every step of the way. And when I look back, I look at those, that path, I say, you know, Jesus really did lead me all the way. I didn't even realize it, but He was going before me and He was calling me. And by His grace, and I didn't always do it perfectly, absolutely not. Don't think this is a lesson on perfection tonight, because it is not. But by His grace, I heard His voice. I recognized His voice. Not always even knowing it was Him. I wasn't that smart. I wasn't always that spiritually astute or discerning. But I wanted to hear His voice. I wanted to know His will. And He led me every step of the way. Let me show you just a couple of ways in which He did it. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe you know these already. But you can pray for some of the others. That we will all, as His sheep, hear His voice, know His voice, and follow His voice. Number one is one that we've been talking about perhaps this week, ad nauseum. I hope not ad nauseum, but you know what that means? Enough where maybe you're getting sick of it. You know, when you get nauseous, that means you're getting sick. Well, Latin means until you get sick of it. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't have a whole lot else to talk about. And that is the Word of God. You want to know God's will? Do you want to hear His voice? You know what's ground zero? You know what's ground zero? The Word of God. The Word of God. Because in this book, God speaks to us. This is God speaking to us. You want to hear God's voice? Read the Bible. You want to hear it? You want to understand it? As we said, ask Him. Say, speak to me. teach me, enlighten me, Holy Spirit. Get into that book and allow God to speak into your life. I can think of times when I was reading something and it wasn't even related. It wasn't related to anything perhaps necessarily. That I was a story or something, but I had something on my heart, and all of a sudden a phrase or a verse or a single word. Oh, folks in my church, when I say I'm going to talk about a single word, they start getting nervous, because they know when I get to one of those words, I like to tear it up and move it around and twist it backwards, and, you know, like on that Scrabble board system, where you know, turn it around this way and that way and all the different meanings that it has. But God is just, sometimes He's just put one of those, it's like it jumps right off the page. Right off the page. And I knew, God, You were speaking to me. That's Your word to me. Right now, Your word is a lamp. It's a light. What does a light do? A light highlights things. It highlights things. It focuses on it. You know, anybody ever here see a spotlight? You know what a spotlight does? If we were to put a spotlight on Andrew here and just kind of boom right on him, all of a sudden we'd say, whoa, he is here. Right? It highlights something. Well, sometimes the Lord just highlights something. Just points out something. It might have been something in my life. It might have been a question. It were lots of things. But the Word of God. And if you, and here's another thing that's very important with this and why we start with the Word of God. If you ever feel that God is leading you or has spoken to you about something and it is not in alignment with the Word of God, who can finish that statement? It is not God. It is the stranger's voice. God will never contradict His word. He will never contradict His word. So get into the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times this book has been a guide to me. Second, hand in hand with the Word of God is the Spirit of God. It talks often in the Scripture about the Spirit bearing witness. Bearing witness with our spirits. In John 14, 15, 16, when Jesus was talking to His disciples, He was going to go away. He was going to leave them. They were going to be on their own. He says, but you're not going to be on your own. You're not going to be on your own. I remember my dad died 4 years ago, the week we were supposed to be up at camp. 4 years ago, I was 46. I was going to turn 47. And there I stood at his graveside. And 46 years old, you know what thought came to my mind? Wow, I am officially an orphan. I'm officially an orphan. 46 years old, that's an old man, right? That's really old, isn't it? I know when I was doing, working in the kitchen, 46 was really old. But I thought, wow, I am now officially an orphan. My wife had lost her mom and dad. Her dad died when she was very young. And her mom had died a few years prior to that. And we sat there that night and kind of looked at each other. And I said that to her. I said, well, hon, we are now officially both orphans. Sammy has no grandparents. Well, Sammy wasn't born yet, but we knew it was going to be Sammy. And he has no grandparents. We're both orphans. And then those words that Jesus... And I wasn't, you know, down in the dumps about it. I wasn't like, oh, I'm an orphan and stuff. But you know, that occurred to me. Wow, I'm an orphan now. You know, never thought that would happen. Here it is, 46, but I still feel it. And that word that Jesus said when He was speaking to His disciples, He says, I'm leaving, but you're not going to be orphans. You're not going to be orphans because I'm going to come to you. My Spirit, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to come to you. And not just to be with you, but to be within you. And the next morning, the day after my father's funeral, that's what I talked about. I said, folks, we're kind of like orphans. My mom and dad were the founders of our church. The only pastors we had. We were just getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary in 3 months. And now the only pastors we had ever known were gone. I said, folks, guess what? We're not orphans. We're not orphans because we have His Spirit to lead us. We have His Spirit to guide us. And I can honestly tell you that in these last 4 years since my dad went to heaven, and of course a few more years since my mom went to heaven, yeah, we went through some rough times. Our congregation struggled. We struggled. You know, this was new. We've never done like this before. I mean, we didn't live on my parents' experience, but they had been our leaders. They had been the only ones we had ever known. And we struggled. But as we sought God, and as we opened ourselves up, and we listened to His voice to lead us and to guide us, His Spirit came to us. And His Spirit began to nurture us and care for us and lead us and guide us. And as I look back over these past just couple of short years, I can see how our shepherd has been walking ahead of us and calling us by name and leading us. And thank God, in the last about a year and a half or so, the church has begun to grow again. New folks have been added to the church, and not just other Christians from other churches, new believers who needed to know Jesus. One lady from town, she's 43 years old, she lost her husband. She was a widow with two kids. She said to me, "I never thought I'd be a widow at 43 years old and be left alone. I didn't know what to do. So I came to church." I said, "You came to the right place." And God has been working in their family. Another family was added to our church last year through our vacation Bible school. The husband, I knew him. He grew up in my town. He played football in the high school where I ended up coaching later on. Let me put it this way. When he was in high school, if you would have told me, "You see that kid? You see Frankie Medvar? You see Frankie Medvar? In 15 years, he's going to be a member of your church. He's going to be one of your most faithful members. He's going to be in prayer meeting. He's going to come to Bible study. He's going to bring his kids to be anointed when they're sick." I would have looked at you and said, "You're nuts." Him? Get out of here. Not him. Maybe him. Not him. Well, guess what? God said, "Yes, him. Him." And that was a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us and bears witness with our spirits. And let the Spirit speak to you. In Hannah Whittle Smith's book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, you know what she talks about in there, which really caught my attention when I was reading that book? She says, the Holy Spirit will even bear witness, I love the terms used, with your common sense. She talks about your common sense. You know, sometimes Christians will come with a question. "Well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that?" And it's like, "Well, you know, I don't think we have to be too spiritual." I kind of say that, you know, with a little wink. "So I don't think we even have to become too spiritual to figure this one out. You know, this is pretty clear cut. You know, you can see it. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Let Him speak to you." Sometimes the answer is plain. You know what I find? A lot of times when people have trouble with a situation, like, "I just can't quite seem to find the will of God about this." You know what I find out? More often than not, they already know the will of God. They just don't like the answer. They just don't like the answer. "Oh, that can't be. Oh, well, I got to keep praying about it a little bit more so I really make sure." I find that very, very often. But God, when you really want God's will, He will speak to you. He'll speak to you by His Spirit in your soul, in your heart, in your common sense even. Just kind of use a sort of a down-home kind of an illustration. Let that Spirit work in you. There's some kind of celebration going on today. When our brother Peter was speaking about the name of Jesus, right through that window was an outrageous fireworks display. I was listening to Brother Peters talk about the name of Jesus and watching fireworks, and I said, "You know what? That name's got fireworks." That name's got fireworks when that name is spoken. But anyway, so that's what's going on. I know you can hear it, so that's what's happening. I'm having some kind of celebration tonight. Everybody's shooting off fireworks. I think it's HorrorCon Day or something is coming up this weekend. But the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you a few more. We're going to let you go a little early tonight. Don't you be happy about that. We're going to pray. Spend some time in prayer. But I'll let you go just a little bit early. The Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and then providential circumstances. Circumstances. Sometimes, when you really want God's will, do you know what will happen? This happened to me. God will just so order your steps. Anyone ever hear that in the Bible? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, I'm not claiming to be a good man, but when you want to obey the will of God, when you want to hear His voice, He will open doors for you. He will lead you. You may not even realize it. Do you remember in the book of Revelation, I believe the Lord was speaking to the church at Philadelphia. He says, I'm the God who opens doors, and when I open that door, nobody shuts it. I'm also the God who shuts doors. And when I shut doors, no one can open it. God, and you know, in my life, there have been times when I wasn't 100% sure what to do. I got no clear message from God. I didn't have a divine revelation or go to one of the great vessels and, you know, get an answer about something. I just said, Father, I want your will. I want your will. And do you know what happened? I want to show you a verse that has been very precious to me. It's in the book of Proverbs. Again, I could quote it to you, but I want you to see that I'm not making this up. Proverbs 16, verse 9 is a very precious verse to both myself and to my wife, to me and my wife. Look what it says. A man's heart plans his way, but... Right? That's what I call one of those big little words. That's a big little word. It's a little word, but it's got a big meaning. A man's heart plans his ways, but who? The Lord directs his steps. When I wasn't sure what to do, I said, Lord, I don't just want to go blundering ahead, but you know, time's moving on and there are decisions that I am supposed to be making and need to give people answers and need to make some choices. I want your guidance. Here's what I think. I just took one of those tentative steps. Step of faith. Wasn't walking into any sin or anything like that. If it's sin, put the brakes on, buddy, right? But I took those steps. And the Lord just one after the other. Some of you old timers might remember Get Smart. Remember when he used to walk? Remember what used to happen? All the doors used to open as he was walking? But that's exactly what the Lord did. He just would open doors and open doors and open doors and shut doors and open doors. And when I turned back, I said, wow, Jesus led me. The Lord. I might have had the idea, but it was the Lord who was guiding my steps. It was the Lord who was leading me. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't just lean on your own understanding. Now that doesn't mean that your understanding, just throw it out the window. God gave you that brain. He gave you that head. He gave you that common sense. Sometimes we think, oh, we just throw that all out the window. No, not really. Because if we do, I believe we're holding Him in contempt. We're not using what He has given us, what He has placed in us. But don't lean on it. Don't make that the be-all and the end-all of who you are and how you make your decision. But commit your way to Him. Commit it to Him. And then follow Him. And say, Lord, I'm going to follow You where You're going to lead me. Where You are going to lead me. And You watch. And You watch and see. I am a living example that when you want God to lead you, He will lead you. He'll open the doors that should be open. He'll shut the doors that should be shut. And I'm telling you, some of the doors that He will open for you, you will be absolutely amazed. You will be amazed. One of the things I've learned in dealing with some of our young folks in church, and of course being a young person myself, was the idea that, you know what, if I follow God's will, I'm going to be miserable. He's going to make me marry somebody I don't like. No offense, Sister Marie, but maybe He's going to send me to Africa, of all places, or maybe someplace worse. No, I think Africa's kind of cool myself. But He's going to send, you know, He's going to make me a missionary, or maybe I'll never get married, or, you know what I'm saying? We got that idea. That's not true. If you were listening on Sunday morning, Jesus came to give us life. And to give us life more abundantly. And if you follow His way, if you want to hear His voice, as you learn to recognize His voice, He will lead you in paths that are going to absolutely, they're going to amaze you. They're going to amaze you. They will be better than anything you could have planned or worked out for yourself. And I'm an example of it. And you don't, I'm not telling you you have to live my life. I'm following the plan God has for me. God has a plan for you. And if you want to be the most happy, you want to be in the plan and the path that He has for your life. You will be stunned. You will be amazed at the plan that God has for you and the doors that He will open, and you will be eternally grateful for the doors that He shuts. And you will be so glad that God shut that door. Because as you look back with a little bit of hindsight and perhaps some wisdom, you know, hindsight's 20/20, you look back, you'll say, thank you, Lord, for closing that door. My mom used to share with me something. She never gave me a lot of the details, but she said, when I was younger, I had a thought about something, thought my life was going to go a particular way. And you know what happened? God shut the door. And when I looked back at it, she told me, she said, all I could say was, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because that wasn't the way. It wasn't the way. And what God opened up for her was so much more glorious. When we hear His voice, He is not leading you into misery. He's leading you into fulfillment. He's leading you into joy. That's what He has for you. That's what He wants to accomplish in your life. And then lastly, the fourth way that God has spoken to me and led me and helped me to hear His voice is through, and I couldn't let this one go being at Pilgrim Camp, through godly counselors. Through godly counselors. Through those who truly loved God. Vessels. Who weren't just trying to give me what they thought I should do or what their opinion was of what a godly man was supposed to be like, but what God thought, what God's thoughts were. Don't neglect the voice of experience. Don't neglect the voice of wisdom. Read the book of Proverbs. How many times does it say, my son, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Listen to wisdom. Don't reject it. Don't throw it away. Godly counselors. That doesn't mean that everybody's always got the right answer for you, but your pastor or someone who you know loves God. Talk to them. Talk to them. I would imagine that they won't say, this is what you should do. Very often, most times, they won't say, this is what you should do. Gotta be careful when people start saying, this is what you should do. But you know what? At the very least, they will counsel you. They'll lead you into the Word of God. They'll pray with you. Perhaps they'll relate something even from their own experience that they have learned. Their experience is not your experience, but never neglect godly counsel. Godly counsel. Take it. Pray over it. Lord, what did you have to say to me here? What are you saying? And I want to tell you one little funny story. I think this story was about Brother Edwin when he was a little boy. If it's not about Brother Edwin, I do know it's a true story. But out in Zion, Illinois, where the faith homes were, where many, I don't know how much some of you folks know about the history of Pilgrim Camp, but much of our group of churches, we come out of Zion, Illinois, or a group of faith homes, where there were what we would often refer to as great vessels, people who just loved God so much that God did a great work through them. Many people were saved. Many went out into the mission field. God did a great work, and that's how we're here today. But in faith homes in Zion, Illinois, as I was told the story, there were these two little fellas, and it was a hot summer afternoon. And these fellas wanted to have a little fun. But, you know, they had been introduced to this thought about loving Jesus, following Jesus, wanting to do His will, wanting to hear His voice. And so they got a great idea. They said, you know what we're going to do? We know what we want to do, but here's what we're going to do. You know how kids get these crazy ideas. They said, we're going to go see the leader, one of the great vessels of God. We're going to go see her, and we're going to ask her, what is God's will for us? These two little fellas, what's God's will for us for today? What should we do? What should we do today? What's God's will for us? And so they just, you know, they weren't shy. They went up and they knocked on the door. And, of course, they were ushered in kindly. And they came walking in and said, we would like to know what God's will for us is today. Now, I know you can think and say, well, it's probably maybe you should pray. Maybe you should read your Bible. you know, maybe you should, you know, do something to serve the Lord. Maybe go find somebody to witness. And that dear saint of God looked at them, and she smiled, and she said, God's will for you today is that you should go swimming. You should go swimming. Go swimming and have a good time. And think about Jesus while you're swimming a little bit, and he will bless you. And so off they went on their way, whistling and happy as two, you know, jacks in the box. And they went and they went swimming. My point in telling you this story is, again, we think that if we listen to the voice of God, he's going to lead us into doom and gloom. It couldn't be more other than that.
Right.
He wants to give you life. He wants to lead you into joy. He wants to lead you into fulfillment. He wants to lead you into purpose. He wants to lead you into that for which you were created. What greater thing is there to be able to stop for a second and say, I think this is what I was made for. This is what I was created for. And I'm telling you what, when you find it, you'll know it. You will know it. Because it'll so resonate with you that you'll just say, this is what I was made for. In a measure, I've had this experience. And I'll tell one little secret on my wife. Please don't tell her, she's coming tomorrow. And here it is. And she likes her job. She's a physical therapist. She works with little children. She does a real good job at it. But sometimes she looks at me and she says, it's not fair. And I said, well, what's not fair? I don't think I did anything wrong, did I? If I do, I apologize. I said, well, what's not fair? She goes, you don't work. And I said, yes, I do. I make more money than you. I do so. She goes, no, you don't. I said, I do too. She says, no, you don't. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you play. I was like, what do you mean I play? She says, you like your job too much. You like your job too much. You never complain that you have to go to work. You're always happy. You just like what you do. You have a great time. You have fun. I say, you're right. You know why? Because this is what God made me for. And I'm where he wants me to be. And I'm like Eric Little. I know what God made me for. And when I'm in his purpose, it makes me happy. It makes me happy. It fills me with joy. Here's another little secret I've heard. This is not spiritual, but I think it is. They say if you like what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. You ever hear that? If you like what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. That is just as spiritual as anything. Because if you are in the will of God, you will be where God created you to be, doing what God created you to do, and all of a sudden you're going to look and say, oh, it's like I don't work a day in my life. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to hit difficult times. I'm not saying that everything's going to always be rosy, or you're always going to be, you know, playing hopscotch and, you know, having a jolly old time. But when you're doing what God made you and wants you to do, it's different. It's different. You are living a life with meaning, a life of purpose. And you know that one day when you stand before him, that one whose voice you have heard, whose voice you have followed, whose voice you have recognized, you're not going to boast. Not going to be able to say, what do you think, Lord? Did pretty good, huh? Pretty good, huh? Aren't you glad you picked me? Huh? No. You're going to say, thank you. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for guiding me. Thank you for the grace whereby I was able to recognize and hear and follow your voice. It's all been you. It's all been you. And the Lord is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And you know what? I don't think you'll actually do this, but you know what you might be tempted to say? Enter into the joy of my Lord. I've been living in the joy of my Lord all this time. Can it get any better? And he will say, yes. Yes. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are our shepherd. You are our leader.
Thank
you. You are our guide. And I ask that you will help us tonight, myself included, that you will more finely tune our ears so that we may hear your voice, recognize your voice, and follow your voice. I ask for these younger ones, Lord. I ask for the staff, those who are still, many of them, sort of finding their way. Lord, speak to them. Speak to them, Lord. Help them to hear your voice. I pray that perhaps through some of these things that we've been discussing tonight, you'll open their ears that they may hear your voice and they may follow your voice. Lord Jesus, those of us who have been following you and have at least learned this in a measure, how fortunate we have been. It's been your grace. It's been your mercy. How fortunate we have been to follow you. And all we can say is, Lord, lead these, lead all of us more deeply and more completely into your will, into the joy of following and serving Jesus. I pray that you'll do that for us tonight, Lord. Do that for each one of us. Give us the cry to hear your voice. I ask this in your name. Amen.